The Science Show on RN, where I'm now going to bring you a shitty gift. Yes, sorry about that, but it's a technical term they use in psychology tests. Are you any good at telling from faces what mood people are in? Apparently not. Only 30% of our guesses turn out to be correct. Here Dr. Pollock explains why it matters.
My name is Seth Pollock. I am the Letters and Sciences Distinguished Professor of Psychology, Anthropology, Neuroscience, and Public Affairs at the University of Wisconsin-Madison.
That is some title.
But you can also just call me a psychology professor at the University of Wisconsin.
Excellent. Why did you and your colleagues decide a couple of years ago to get together to work out this problem?
This issue of whether we can read people's faces, whether the way we move our face somehow provides insight into how we feel, kind of like a fingerprint, has been a very, very contentious issue. What motivated us to really analyze all of the science and see what conclusion we could make is the fact that there's been so many applications of this idea. It's not just a scientific debate. Juries are swayed about people's innocence or guilt based on how they look in the courtroom. Technology companies are creating software where businesses are using the way you move your face during a job interview to make determinations about whether you look nervous and you're lying during an interview or whether you look really, truly interested in a job. There are security applications, and all of these are based on this premise that movements in our face are actually a direct readout of how we feel inside.
And the fact that around the world we all do the same things, and a face doing something in Papua New Guinea is the same as doing it in Sydney and who knows in Seattle as well. Did that universality, when the anthropologists looked around, add up? Is there really only one facial language of expression?
It turns out it's a confusing answer. It would be great if I could tell you that the way we move our faces is a perfect predictor of how we feel. And it would also be sort of easy if I could tell you that the way we move our faces is not at all an index of how we feel. The problem is that you're right about 30% of the time if you try and make an inference about how I feel based on what's on my face. What that means is we don't move our faces randomly. There's some information there. The problem is 30%. That's a statistic that it's okay, depending on the importance of the decision that you're making. And so what we're learning now is there's a lot of variability across individuals. There's a lot of variability across cultures. There's variability within individuals. What I'm doing now might not be what I might do later in the day. And so we need lots of things. We need to know what the context is. You need to hear what I'm saying and my tone of voice and my body posture. Maybe it's good to talk about tone of voice since we're on an audio program. But there's a lot more information that we need if we really want to make or come close to making an accurate inference about what somebody else feels.
So the whole point is that artificial intelligence, if it makes the assumption we're all the same and you can read faces and there are implications in the ways in which this information is used, then you're going to be wrong.
Yes, you will be.
Which is very significant.
Well, think about how much easier marriages and friendships would be if you could really just look at somebody's face and understand what somebody feels and what sense they're making of a situation. Mm. But humans are much more complex than that.
Yeah. Now, one question that really intrigues one is the gender difference, because one's assumption is that as people like me get older, we turn into curmudgeons. Because as males, we either want to be left alone or we want some sort of gravitas, which gives us an alpha feeling, whereas women are much more accommodating. Is this assumption true?
It is not true. In fact, in the West, in westernized societies, there are assumptions that people generally make about the way people move their faces. For example, when women produce a strong facial movement, people make assumptions about that woman's personality. For example, she's a very angry person. She's a very happy person, feeling extremely something all the time. It's a mark of what that person is like. when men tend to make strong facial movements, people think it's just something that happened. They don't say he's a curmudgeonly person. They say, oh, something happened today. He must be in a bad mood. And so that has really interesting interpretations.
So people interpret it differently. What is the shitty gift experiment?
That is a wonderful study, a very creative study. It was done by a researcher named Pamela Cole at Pennsylvania State University. It's one of my favorite studies. Young children came into a laboratory and they were asked to participate in the study. And they were told after they finished this really boring experiment, they were going to get a gift. And sitting on a table was a very pretty wrapped package with a bow on it. And kids were told, that's your present for when you're done. Sometimes when kids opened that present, inside was a really disappointing gift. For example, a pair of cheap plastic broken sunglasses. It turns out that little kids, they open this present, they cry, they throw it down. They're not very happy with what they receive. But as they get older, they start learning our social display rules. They start learning how to be polite, what's expected. And so by around kindergarten, little girls will force a smile. Their corners of their lips will turn up and they'll say, thank you. And they're not very good at it. Like you can tell watching them that that's not how they really feel. But they're learning this idea that how someone really feels inside and what they're saying and doing don't have to be the same thing. And so even though they're disappointed, they're trying very hard to look like they're not. Little boys do master this, but about a year and a half later, it takes them a little bit more time to learn to mask things.
So the girls are much more sensitive to these sorts of things and they're learning faster.
They're figuring out the social display rules. Again, this is a very universal thing. I mean, girls' brains tend to mature more quickly. Girls tend to produce language at an earlier age. Girls learn to read at an earlier age. And I think this just falls into this general idea of brain maturation in females appearing to be a bit faster. This is a case of girls, of course, figuring out this idea that you can actually behave in one way and feel a different way.
Subtle. Finally, you've spent 2.5 years with your colleagues around the world, the psychologists consulting. What next? What's the point?
I think the point here is if we are reaching the conclusion that the face isn't a direct readout of how people feel, how is it that humans learn to figure out what other people feel? It's a really important skill. It's important for society. It's important for interpersonal relationships. And from my perspective, we know that there are big differences. Some people are really good at this. We call it social skills or emotional intelligence. And I think that this research opens up possibilities to better understand not only how humans learn to do this, but in so doing, to figure out what we might do for children and young people that actually struggle a little bit to understand how other people might be feeling in a certain situation.
Just relying on emojis ain't enough.
I think emojis are pretty fun, but imprecise.
Gosh, I enjoyed meeting Seth, distinguished professor of psychology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And training AI to read our faces remains a challenge.